our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Happy Monday to you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your Monday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're going to get right to where we were at church yesterday, and the sermon you're going to hear is entitled The Offense of the Cross. And we're in Galatians. We're in chapter 5. Again, Paul defending his credentials. Paul angry at these guys for turning away so soon. Remember, he said in chapter 3, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed. He said, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed among you as crucified. See, as soon as he left town, the Judaizers crept in the back door and started with the, now salvation by grace alone, through faith alone is not enough, but you need to keep Torah. You need to be circumcised. Now that one point is where we're going to pick it up here today. We're going to hear the Pharisee, the son of the Pharisee, condemn the teaching that you need to be circumcised while the whole Old Testament revolved around that. Paul is saying, no, not anymore. There's been a change in covenants. This is what the entire New Testament is. You read it in the book of Hebrews. There's been a change of covenants. You're no longer under the old covenant. And people back in the first century had a problem with that. And that's what he's been dealing with in this letter to the churches of Galatia. And that's where we're going to pick it up. Matter of fact, we'll let this intro play tomorrow as well. So if it's Tuesday, you'll hear the same intro, different message. The 35-minute sermon will play over Monday and Tuesday. This Wednesday, we're in midweek Bible study. Love to see you. We are in... Actually, we'll be looking at the opposite thing. We'll be looking at how Israel's still the apple of God's eye. Israel's God is not done with the nation of Israel, whom he foreknew. We'll be looking at the fullness of the Gentiles and blindness upon Israel. Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. If you can't join us on Facebook Live at Island Community Church, or join us on the app. Island Community Church FL, either one of those will turn on right at 6 o'clock Wednesday night. Here in the meantime, God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. Peace of Jesus Christ to you. Thanks for taking the time with me today. Let's get into the Word of God now.
Now this one takes the cake. This is from the NLT translation. It says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. That means don't let anyone come to you and say, no, if you want to be right with God, you've got to keep rules. You got to come to this church every Wednesday night or burn. Rules, whatever. This is what happened to the Jews. They kept making up more rules and more rules and more rules. And it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Make sure that you stay free, he says. Don't get tied up again in slavery. So you know what? To be honest, I pity the fool that would ever try to put you people here in this church under bondage. And to try to force you to live back under the law, this church here is loaded for bear. Am I right? I pity the fool that comes in here and tells you that yarn and lie and deceive the body of Christ here and tell you guys you need to keep rules to be right with God. You see, you keep rules anyway, right? Because like I said in Sunday school, as they hear it on the Wizard of Oz, you've got something they haven't got. You've got the ability to keep rules anyway, because The Holy Spirit lives inside of you now, and he didn't live inside of them. But you can't keep rules to be right with God. All right, now Paul's on a roll. Not only are they and you not under the law, he's now going to make mincemeat out of the most important law of all of the Old Testament. Listen, he says, verse 2, indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you people become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. The whole Old Testament revolves around that. And Paul was a Pharisee. Listen to how it goes in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 17, verse 12. For the generations to come, every male among you, 8 days old, must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, who are those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your house or born with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised will be cut off from his people because he has broken my covenant. And now here comes this former Pharisee, and he hits us with this. I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, that's for the purpose of keeping the law to be right with God, then Christ is useless to you. Throw him out. Don't you people get it? He's saying. The days of keeping rules in order to be right with God are gone. You are now right with God based on your faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And yet, like I said before, you'll now keep rules without even thinking about it because you've got something they haven't got. You've got the Holy Spirit. They didn't have it. This is not an excuse to sin. But people, going all the way back to Adam, when God said, see that tree there? Don't touch that. The rest is history. Now, as we find out in Sunday school, you love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor. And now it's your desire to do those things anyway, because you have a new nature. Man, I love that sermon on the free will of man. If you guys missed that, you should go to our website and listen to that associate pastor preach. It was brilliant on the free will of man. All right, Paul continues, verse 3. He says, and I testify again. All right. That's in case you just missed what he just said. I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor. Better word there would be obligated. I tell every man out here, head of your household, every man, over 8 days, all of you that want to get circumcised for the reason of being right with God, that you are now obligated, that is under law, you are obligated to keep the whole law. That is, if this is the path you're going down, then don't stop there. Then look what he calls these Galatians. Verse 4, he says, you have been estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Wow, you ever watch that show on TV called Divorce Court? I've heard of estranged wives, estranged husbands, but here you have an estranged Christian. The King James says Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you who are justified by the law, ye, that means all of you, have fallen from grace. That word translated of no effect or estranged, in the New King James, it means useless or ineffective. Literally, this should read, Christ has become utterly useless to you people, all of you who attempt to draw close to God by trying to keep the law. Everyone with me? Then to make matters worse, he says, you have fallen from grace. Here's a great quote from my Believer's Bible commentary. It says, Christ must be everything or nothing to you. No limited trust or divided allegiance is acceptable to him. He's all or nothing. We sing the song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He's all or nothing, church. We owe it all to him, or he gets part of the credit, and you know what? I'm going to take the rest of that. No. That's anathema to him. If I want to take a little, he's saying in this letter, then I've got to take the whole thing. I've got to take the whole thing. Again, the man who is justified by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is a Christian. The man who is justified by the works of the law is not a Christian. So let me say, many Christians argue over this verse too. Some use this as a proof text that a Christian can lose their salvation. But I don't believe that. The Bible is clear. The Bible is clear that if you do not cross the finish line in faith, then you were never a genuine Christian to begin with. In the letter of 1 John, the back of your Bibles, 1 John chapter 4, John put it this way. It says, they, that is your friends and your family members who quit and never crossed the finish line but gave up. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out from us, but they went out so that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. Let me remind you as well what Jesus told us, recorded in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 13. In that text, one out of four people who start out in the Christian faith cross the finish line in faith. One out of four people. One out of four. That's on average. That's me, Sandy, Linda, and Darren. Out of us four, the average is one of us will make it to the end. And the other three will crash and burn. You see, as the pastor of this church, that's unacceptable to me. Let some other church fulfill those numbers. Not in this church. If you're serious and you come here every week and you love the Lord, you will cross the finish line in faith here. We study the whole counsel of God here. It's difficult to cross the finish line in faith. In this world, Jesus said, you will have tribulation. There's a real devil out here trying to deceive you and kill you. Right? I'm not skipping anything here. Matthew 13 is for a whole nother day here. Now, verse 5. But we, through the Spirit, we eagerly await for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, all right, here comes the third time now. This Pharisee is going to tell you that circumcision means nothing. Nothing. It's good for nothing. God built the entire old covenant on something that this Pharisee says now is good for nothing. It's good for nothing. You can't keep rules and not eat pork to be right with God. You're right with God by believing what he says. in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. I love that word. Avails anything. It means nothing. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans. But he tells you what does. And the rest of the verse, faith working through love. There's the Christian faith. It's faith. Faith in God working through love. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. It's not keeping rules. It's loving God. Doing what he says. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. Remember, I just said it. Greatest commandments for us as a believer. Love the Lord with all your heart. Isn't it? No, I won't go there. Love your neighbor the same way as you love yourself. As the same way that you're mask wearing, vaccine taking, love yourself. The same way as we look out over our own hide is the same kind of love he wants us to have towards everyone else. Look at all the things we do for ourselves. We need to love everyone else in that same way. Verse 7. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? He's saying, well, first of all, wow, is he sore at these people. Look at how mad he is at these people. He says, you ran well. You were a well-oiled machine. And then he left and went to another town. And then someone else came in and said, nah, don't listen to that old. They used to call Paul, word is on the street, that he was a bald-headed Jew with a hook nose. That's what they'd say about him behind his back. That old bald-headed Jew with a hook nose. Ah, don't listen to him. Salvation's not by grace alone. It's not by faith alone. You also have to not eat pork and shellfish. You have to keep Torah. You got to obey all the Old Testament laws in order to be right with God. That's how this spin goes. That's how it went in this church. When a third of its members left to walk where Jesus walked, to eat what Jesus ate, they don't do any of those things anymore. They go to synagogues on Saturday because they fell for this very thing he's warning them about. Salvation is by grace alone. That is, God saved you because he felt like it. By faith alone. All you can give God is it's your best as you give him your heart. Right? That is good news. Not keeping rules. You're not a robot. You're not a robot. You ran well. Again, verse 7. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who is responsible for turning you from the truth of the gospel? That you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone. You're saved without burning one calorie for Jesus Christ. You don't burn calories to get saved. He burned them all. He burned all the calories on the cross. He goes on, this persuasion does not come from him, capital H, who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You know what that means, right? You swallow one little lie, and leaven is yeast. When the Jews would leave from one place to another, when the glory cloud or when the flame of fire went down, they had to pack up and go, they would grab one little chunk of bread. And leave. And then they'd go and mix that with everything else. And before you know it, everything was mixed with leaven and yeast. It's the same it is with sin here. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but that he who troubles you will bear his judgment. whoever he is. Now, the leaven always represents sin in the Bible. Accept one sin in your life without doing something about it, then you'll accept two in your life. Accept two habitual sins in your life as you go through these things, or normal or no big deal, you'll accept four. Then before you know it, you stink like a rotten fish. Paul continues, verse 11, and I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, which he doesn't, then why do I still suffer persecution? Then he says, then the offense of the cross has ceased. Now, John MacArthur says here, says apparently the Judaizers had falsely claimed that Paul had agreed with their teaching. But he made the point that if he did preach that circumcision was necessary for salvation, all the Jews wouldn't still hate him like they do. He says, you know I don't agree with that. Look at all these people out here that hate my guts, is what he's saying. And if I did still go around preaching law to please God, then the offense of the cross would be non-existent. And don't even kid yourself for a moment. The cross is a giant offense to people. First of all, the people are sinners. And that you don't have what it takes, or they don't have what it takes on their own to enter into the kingdom of God. You can't make it on your own. That offends the self-made man or woman. The offense of the cross is you cannot make it into the kingdom of God without help. That's the offense of the cross. You're a sinner. You stand condemned before a holy God without a deliverer. The prestige of your family name means nothing to God. Your name can't get you into heaven. Only his name. That's the offense of the cross. Is your daddy can't buy you in? The prestige of your long history can't get you in? Only Jesus can get you in. Only Jesus. You stand guilty. The offense of the cross is that you, in fact, are such a sinner that you need to, number one, you need to admit it. Number two, you need to cry out for help. And number three, you need to accept his provision. The offense of the cross, that your sins was or is so grievous, the offense of the cross is that your sins are so grievous to a holy God that it took his son to die naked on the cross for you. That's the offense of the cross. There's a bloody cross. It's a bloody cross. It took God's son to pay your penalty because you can't pay it. Rich man, you can't afford it. Elon Musk, I don't care who you are. Warren Buffett, Donald J. Trump, Steve Jobs' widow, I don't care who you are, you can't buy your way into this kingdom. Poor man, you don't have what it takes either. Sympathy won't get you into the kingdom of God. Blood will. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Jesus himself tells us, and I'm done, John 3:14. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't that awesome? You don't have to do anything. He did it all. He did it all for you because he loves you. One last verse and then we're done here for this morning. That's the verse that follows that for why he did that. But remember back in that day, the people were dropping like flies because they didn't have faith. So God told Moses to put a bronze snake and put it on a giant stick and raise the stick up. And whoever gives 40% of their salary will be saved. All you got to do is look at it, he says. Let me read the verse again. As Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. How about Sharon and Darren? Why don't you guys come on up? How about Amazing Grace? Can we sing that this morning?
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You came to search and rescue, and love the Father sent you. Broke through the darkest night. You came to seek and save us, you came to liberate us. Jesus, you heard our cry. Jesus, you heard our cry.